Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, if you will, the 80th Psalm. Now, I'm going to preach this morning, and the title of my message today is A Miracle for America. I believe I have a word from the Lord this morning to share with you, and that God has laid upon my heart, and some of the things that I say this morning, which should not come to a big surprise to many of you, may, you know, be not pleasing to the ear. Well, that got a big response, but nevertheless, amen. But I feel there's some things that have to be dealt with from the Word of God concerning America. We are celebrating our independence today and this weekend. Our independence, and we, as I said, I thank God for this nation. But I want to share some things from the Word of God, because I believe that America and the world is in an unprecedented crisis situation today. And only God knows what the future holds for this nation. And I believe we need a miracle for America in 2015. The nation that we live in was born. This nation was born on July 4th, 1776 in Philadelphia. But this nation needs to be born again. Born again. Amen. So I'm going to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. I was a little late getting my Scriptures to them back there and getting them on the computer this morning. Hopefully we've got everything. I didn't get everything on there that I'm going to cover, but I'm going to read the entire 80th Psalm. If you'll go to the next one, that's the introduction. Next one's verse 1. Thank you very much. I'm going to read the entire 80th Psalm. I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. So listen as we go along. There may be some things, if you're looking in your Bible, that I may ask you to highlight or to underscore. But in verse number 1, Psalm number 80 and verse number 1, give ear. And this is a prayer of a patriot right here for his nation in difficult times. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come and save us. That might be a good thing to underline. Verse number 3, restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. And I don't want to stop here and digress too much, but that fourth verse, how long will you be angry at the prayers of your people? We need to wake up, church. The church in America needs to wake up and understand that we can't just come to church and pray on Sunday morning and then just live like the world all week long. God doesn't answer those kind of prayers. And that's what Israel was doing. They were giving God lip service one day a week, but then they were living outside of His covenant the rest of the time. Verse 6, you have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. I don't know whether you know it or not, but right now this great nation of ours is a laughing stock. Verse 7, restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine and we shall be saved. The second time he said that. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. Underline those three words. And planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root. And it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its bows. And she sent out her bows to the sea and her branches to the river. Verse 12. Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar, or the wild hog is what that is. The boar, the wild hog out of the woods, uproots it. The wild beast of the field devours it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit this vine and the vineyard which your right hand has planted and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Verse 17 says, let your hand be upon the man of your right hand. I think we know who that is. We may talk about that here in a little bit. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man who you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we shall call upon your name. And for the third time in verse 19, restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. A miracle for America. I love this nation. I would rather live right here in the United States of America than any nation on the face of this earth. We have men in this congregation this morning that have been in the military, that have retired from the military, that have been in other nations of the world, and I think they would concur with that statement. This is the greatest nation in the world to live in. I love this nation. But I must say this, that America today is sick. America, the nation that we live in, is sick unto death. America, our great country, is on a moral free fall and is nearing the bottom if it has not already hit the bottom. And unless there is a turnaround, the United States of America will be nothing more than a molded crust at the bottom of history's garbage can. Well, I thought, Pastor Rick, I thought we are number one. America's number one. And there would be some that would disagree with some of the things that I'm saying this morning because we're number one. Yeah, we're number one. But unfortunately, we're number one in all of the wrong things. We're number one in divorce. We're number one in political correctness. We're number one in the murder and the slaughter of innocent babies. We're number one in the destruction of family values and the destruction of the traditional biblical marriage union. And now, as of a couple of weeks, we have become number one in sexual perversion. We're on the verge of a collapse in this nation. In this psalm, I believe we see some things that are parallel to what we're facing in America today, because Israel, and I don't know whether you've ever realized this or not, but Israel and America as nations have very many similarities. They are very similar. And I'm not preaching a replacement theology or anything like that, or saying that America replaced, and there's some that believe that America replaced Israel, or that the church replaced Israel and that God is through with Israel, and we do not believe that. Israel does have a glorious future that's been promised by God ahead. They're going to go through some dark things and some dark times, but Israel will be saved and will be restored. I hope we can say the same thing about this nation. But there are many similarities between the United States of America and Israel. Israel, as we know, has a glorious heritage, and Israel was a wonder of her time. The nation of Israel was a nation that God had brought into existence through Abraham and the seed of Abraham, and Israel was a nation that had come out of Egyptian bondage. I mean, God had supernaturally moved, and God had broken the chains of Egyptian bondage and brought them out and led them through the wilderness. Led them into the promised land, and Israel had become a nation that was so glorious that all the nations of the world were astounded at what God had done for the nation of Israel. Under the leadership and the rulership of David and Solomon, Israel as a nation came to its apex. They were at the highest place that they had ever been. They were the wealthiest nation on earth. They were the most prosperous nation upon earth. God had blessed them in such a mighty way. And we'll see that in this psalm. But the thing with Israel was, as any Bible student knows, any Bible scholar knows, that Israel forgot God. And when Israel forgot God and turned away from God, judgment came upon that nation. God sent the prophets to them. God warned them. God sent Jeremiah. God sent Elijah. God sent all of the prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, without number to them to preach to them, to get them to repent, to call them back. But the words of those prophets, those ministers, fell on deaf ears. They forgot God. And Psalm 80 is a psalm that is written in a time of national calamity. It's a psalm that's very befitting for us today, because in this psalm we have the prayer of a patriot, where he cries out in those first three verses, and he says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come and save us. Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine upon us and we shall be saved." It's a prayer of this man of God, a prayer for his country, a prayer for his nation, a prayer that I believe that we today in the churches across America must adopt that same attitude and that same prayer. And we must cry out to God to bless and to, well, not to bless America. God, it's changed from "God bless America." Now it's "God save America." We must admit, we must confess today, even with a troubled heart, that America as a nation has forgotten God. My heart aches for this nation, because she is rolling in luxuries and reveling in excesses and rollicking in pleasure and reeling in drunkenness and revolting in morals and rotting in sin. We need a miracle for America today. I want us to look at the parallels between these two nations, between Israel and the United States of America, because I believe they're very, very beneficial and befitting to us today, because what happened to Israel is such a parallel to our nation. And if God did not spare the natural olive tree, is he going to spare the branch that's been grafted in? No. I don't mean to be negative. We'll get on a positive note, but we've got to understand some things. We cannot stick our head in the sand, church, and say, "Oh, well, you know, everything's going to be okay. It's just all right. God's got it under..." Yes, God does have everything under control. But I tell you what, the reason that we're in the mess, a big part of the reason this nation's in the mess that it is in today, is like Israel, this nation has turned away from Almighty God. They've slapped God in the face. They've kicked him out of the nation, and we're in trouble today. It's time that we call out. It's time that we pray. It's time to repent. It's time to get on our face before Almighty God and cry out for this nation. Hallelujah. Israel as a nation was a nation that was divinely planted by God. In that eighth verse of that psalm, he said, "You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. And that's why I told you, if you had a Bible, to underscore that, and planted it. Because Israel here was called God's vine. And God himself put Israel into the land of Canaan. We know the story, how he brought them out of Egypt and divinely planted them. He had given that land of Canaan, the land of promise, to Abraham. And Israel had spent 400 and some odd years, 430 years in bondage in Egypt. And God broke the chains of Egyptian bondage, brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, brought them through a 40-day journey unto that promised land. And God drove out the enemies before Israel that were there in that land of promise, that were vile, that were wicked, that were ungodly. And God drove those nations out and gave them that land by promise. And God set them in that nation to be the light and to carry the word of God, the law of God, to the nations. So Israel was divinely planted, and America as well. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. America, this great nation that we live in today, has been divinely planted by God Almighty. I do not care what anybody in Washington, D.C. or anywhere else says. God planted America. God ordained this nation from the beginning. The American dream, the dream for this nation, was placed in the bosom of the founding fathers of this nation by God Almighty. There is no other nation, listen to me, no other nation has ever had such a Christian beginning as the United States of America. Are you hearing me? No other nation has had the Christian beginning that this nation had. The original colonies were founded on the Christian faith. The original colonies were founded on the Word of God. In 1620, when the pilgrims came to America seeking religious liberty and seeking freedom from oppression and bondage. They came here seeking freedom to preach the glory. Why did they get on that ship? Why did they come here? They came here seeking a freedom to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they landed at Plymouth Rock, and those people on board the Mayflower, they huddled underneath the deck of the Mayflower in prayer. And as they were there in prayer, they wrote a document that is known as the Mayflower Compact. And Brother Mark could probably tell us all about that. But they wrote a document known as the Mayflower Compact. And do you know what the first words of that document were? How it began? That document begins with these words: "In the name of God, amen." And they wrote in that document what their purpose was for the voyage that brought them to this nation. And in that Mayflower Compact, they said this: "Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern part of Virginia." Did you get what I said? Did you get what they said? Notice the purpose. Their voyage was for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is true. America was, I said America was, founded as a Christian nation. Yes, it was. I don't care. I don't mean any disrespect, but I don't care. Our president can get up and say America is no longer a Christian nation. Let me tell you something. It's not. It's a nation now that has Christians in it, and it's not the Christian nation today that it was established and founded and ordained by God to be. But the reason it's not is because of the politicians that we've put in office that are trying to take away our religious freedoms today. Help me to calm down, Jesus. We're being told today that America was not a Christian nation. But America, just like Israel, was planted by God. And you know what? We knew that growing up. Is anybody here the same age as me? 45, 35, 45 in there. Brother Buddy. We knew that growing up. Amen? I don't know. I'm not familiar. We've got teachers here. I'm not familiar, but we'll go to Sunday school today. But I know every morning, and I've said this before, at Jefferson School in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, if the weather was pretty outside, we assembled every morning, every class in that elementary school lined up around the outside of the school, the flagpole, and the flag went up, and we all did the Pledge of Allegiance. First, they played the Star Spangled Banner on an old 45 record that was so scratched up that you could hear every scratch in it. But they put it on the loudspeaker, and they played the Star Spangled Banner, and every kid out there put their right hand over their heart and said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. We knew that growing up. We sang the song, My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, on every mountainside let freedom ring. I haven't heard that sung in a long time. Last night, we got home from Cape and I was watching a fireworks thing on channel, I don't remember, it was a Macy's fireworks display, and they had some music going, and a lady sang, I don't know who it was, but she sang that song, My Country 'Tis of Thee. And I thought, good, I hope she sings that fourth stanza. But they didn't. They left the fourth stanza of that song out. Because in that fourth stanza, it says, Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Don't let anybody ever tell you that America never had a king, because the first king of this nation was Almighty God. Our forefathers saw to it when they came here that God was the King and the Lord, and Jesus Christ was Lord of these United States of America. Amen? We were planted by God. The Declaration of Independence begins with the words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Let me tell you something. When these men wrote the Declaration of Independence, they did not stammer, they did not stutter, they did not quiver, they did not hesitate. But in one sentence, they declared that they believed in a God who created man. In one sentence, they declared that they did not believe in this farce and this fallacy that's being propagated today of evolution. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They said that we are endowed by our Creator, and our Creator is not Allah. Our Creator is Jehovah, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. But we have today the humanists, secular humanists, the atheists, who would like to extract all belief. And this is their agenda today, church. And this is what we need to, I don't think saying anything you don't already know. But those that are in the high places today, their agenda is to extract all belief in God from the American way of life. That's the agenda. And I'm going to tell you, you know as well as I do, that agenda is being promoted by Satan himself. But listen to me. The fact that we were founded as a Christian nation is written in every warp and woof of the American fabric. It is our foundation. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the Ten Commandments, those things are the foundation of America. We're in the danger today of them being stripped away. We are one nation under God. We are planted by God. We are founded by the Almighty. And I want to establish that fact. So don't let anybody tell you we are not founded by God. So I've got to move along here. But I want you to get that. We were planted by God just as Israel was planted by God. But the second thing that God did for Israel, God prospered them. In verse 10 and 11, I won't take the time to read it, but he talked about the hills being covered with the shadow and the mighty cedars and the boles of the cedars and how that everything reached. It reached out from sea to river to sea. God prospered Israel. And just as God blessed Israel, I mentioned to you a while ago, under Solomon's reign, Israel was the most prospered and blessed nation on the face of the earth. And just as God blessed and prospered Israel, God has blessed and prospered this nation. Is that right? Why do you think we have the blessings that we have today? America has adhered to the principles of God's word, we have prospered as a nation. And that's the reason. Listen, we haven't prospered economically and financially because we've had great economical minds in Washington, D.C. that's caused all that to happen. Come on, get real. Amen? We have prospered. Yeah, God has placed certain men and throughout the history of this nation in places and gave them ideas to help us along. But I'm telling you, the reason that America has been the blessed nation that we have been is because God has put His hand upon us and God has blessed us. And the biggest import that we have had from this nation for many years has been the gospel, especially from the turn of the century with the Azusa Street Revival and the coming of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Missions exploded with that. Amen. And the greatest export that we have had has been the gospel, and we have allowed it to be freely preached in this nation. That's what they're trying to take away from us. But because we've adhered to the gospel of Jesus, to the word of God, God has blessed and prospered America. We have to owe our blessing and prosperity to Him. Even the poor of this nation are well off compared to the ordinary person in a lot of nations of the world today. But the third thing I want you to notice, and this is what I want to get into. Not only was America divinely planted and divinely prospered, but as Israel, we've been divinely protected. In Bible times, when a man would plant a vineyard, he would build a thorn hedge all around that vineyard. The purpose of that hedge was to keep out predators and to keep out thieves. And God Almighty, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling something here. There is a doctrine of hedges in the Bible. God Almighty has hedged this nation in. He's put a hedge of protection around the United States of America. When you think about that, you compare America's blessed shores, peaceful blessed shores of the United States of America to what happened in England and what happened in France and Germany and Japan and Korea and Vietnam and now in Iraq and in the Middle East. And when you compare that, what's happened on other foreign soils to what we've experienced and enjoyed for the last 239, 40 years here in America. You can't look at that and say, oh, it was by our military might that's kept everybody out. Or it was because of our military strength that's kept everybody out. And I thank God for our military strength and might. But do you know what's kept the enemy out? Because we have been in obedience to God. And God has put a hedge about this nation. And God has covered America. And God has blessed the United States of America. Can somebody say amen? We have been a protected nation. Now I want to say thank you. I want to take a moment here to thank our veterans. How many veterans we got in the house today? Amen. Stand up. Veterans, stand up. Stand up. Come on, let's give our veterans a hand. Hallelujah. You know why we have the freedom we have in this nation? Because of these men right here. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. God has been with our armies on foreign soil. We didn't win World War II just because of our strength and power. It was because in those days we had people praying for our military. We had people praying against the powers of darkness. And God moved and orchestrated and worked in that battle and brought in those battles and brought it together to fit His plan and His purpose. God protected this nation and protects this nation. We are covered by a hedge. But I want you to listen to me. I don't think I have to go into the fact that there's a doctrine of hedges. We know that from the book of Job. But in Isaiah chapter 5, and I didn't get these scriptures to them, so just listen to me as I read them. Isaiah 5, 1 through 5. God speaking about Israel, He said, "Now, let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding His vineyard. My well-beloved," speaking of the Lord, "my well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, please, between me and my vineyard." Listen to what the Lord says in verse 4. "What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done to it?" God's saying, "I've done everything that I know to do to this vineyard to get it to produce good fruit. Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, does it bring forth wild grapes?" And this is the sad verse, verse 5. But again, this is God speaking. "And now please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down." In the prayer of this patriot in Psalm 80, verse 12, the prayer was this concerning Israel: "Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit?" See, God founded this nation. God protected this nation. God prospered this nation. He's put a hedge around this nation, expecting us to bring forth grapes, but we've brought forth wild grapes. Fruit that is not to the liking of God. Not the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of righteousness. So God says, "I'll take down the hedge." And see, this is the danger that I see in America today. Because here we have a nation divinely planted, prospered, and protected. And now God removes the hedge. The reason God removes the hedge is because they had forsaken the Lord and they had turned their backs on God. And the result, what is the result? See, there's never a good result when the hedge is removed. There's never a good result because the result of the hedge being removed is that the enemy comes in. What's the purpose of the hedge? To keep out the predator. To keep out things that would come in, thieves that would come in to steal. So when the hedge is removed, there's nothing there to protect us from the enemy. Harmful things are then allowed to come in. The wall of protection is broken down. Anybody can just come in and and pluck the fruit. And I believe that that's what we're seeing today. We see America being invaded by her enemies. We see not other nations right now, but there's an inward invasion right now. Are you hearing me? I said there's an internal invasion that's going on by the powers of darkness. Because we, God said, I'll take the hedge down. Well, why did God take the hedge down? Because we have kicked him out. Oh, help us, Jesus. We see that today. In that 80th Psalm, verse 13, bear with me for just a little bit. I knew this was going to be a little longer today, but bear with me. Psalm 80, 13, he said, when that hedge is removed, then the boar out of the woods uproots it and the wild beast of the field devours it. What is he speaking of there? The boar is a wild hog, which is an unclean animal in Israel. That which is unclean then comes in. Y'all are not listening to me. I said that which is unclean comes in when the hedge is removed. And the hedge is removed when our nation says, we don't want God no more. We don't want anything that has to do with the Word of God anymore. I'm telling you what. Listen, well, has our nation done that? In the same week, when you have our White House lit up in rainbow colors, celebrating gay pride, and in that very same week, you have the Ten Commandments removed from a courthouse or from a state building in Oklahoma, I can pretty much tell you our nation has said, God, we don't want anything to do with you. Anybody that's got any half sense at all can see that's what's happened. And when our nation does things like that, listen, I'm not talking about the hedge around your family or the hedge around our church or the hedge around you individually. You stay in Jesus Christ. You're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty God. God, as long as this church is in this world, as long as His church is in this world, He'll keep us. We may go through some times of persecution, but God will keep us and God will bless us and God will protect His church. Do you think that's really going to be the case, Pastor Rick? Oh, I think so. Because when the plagues were poured out on Egypt, when there was darkness in Egypt, Israel sat over there in the land of Goshen and their light was burning just as bright as always. God will protect His people. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get us a little bit stirred up today of the condition of our nation. I hope that I feel like I'm doing a poor job, but I hope that I'm doing all right. The wild hog, the boar, that which is unclean comes in then to devour the fruit of the nation. To devour the good fruit of the nation. But listen to me. What did that scripture say? Verse 13 of Psalms 80. The hog isn't just content to eat the fruit. The hog comes in to uproot the root. The boar out of the woods. What? Not the boar's not. The wild beasts of the field devour, but that wild hog comes in to uproot the very core, the very foundation of what this nation was founded upon. Can anybody see that, or am I the only one that saw that this week? And I'm amazed at the churches and the pastors on Facebook that say, don't worry, everything's okay, hey, God's not, no, God's not worried. God's not concerned. He's concerned, but he's not worried about it. God knows what He's got, always got a plan. He knows what He's going to do. Are you listening to me? This modern day grace message has ruined the church. It's ruined the church because it's now everything's okay, everything's fine, everything's good. One preacher said that God could not judge America. You know, we've made Franklin Graham and Billy Graham's dad made the statement, if God doesn't judge America, and this was years ago, if God doesn't judge America for what they are doing, Leonard Ravenhill, Brother Jim, made the same statement. If God doesn't judge America, then he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And one real brilliant preacher that's on TV said, that's not right, that's not true. He said, if God judges America, God will have to apologize to Jesus. Have you ever heard anything so stupid, so asinine, so ridiculous in all of your life? In other words, he's saying that's that hyper-grace stuff. Everything has been paid for. Yes, it has been. Jesus shed His blood and paid for the sins, the price for the sins of this world. But I'm going to tell you what else the Bible says. The Bible says that when we trample on the underfoot the Son of God, when we do despite to the Spirit of grace, when we count that sacrifice an unholy thing, that there remains nothing left but a fearful looking to judgment and indignation by Almighty God. There is a judgment that is coming to this nation. Unless there's some praying done and some repenting done and some changing done. Amen? The hog deals with the root, uproots, and our morality and our righteousness and our Bible preaching and teaching is being uprooted. And as I said earlier, that's the agenda, is to get rid of every essence of belief in God and the Word of God from this nation that was founded on the Word of God. They're going after our root. They're going after our foundation. And not only this, but our Constitution. The Constitution of this United States of America that my dad fought for in World War II, that Buddy Montgomery fought for in Vietnam, that you other men that were here went to foreign soil, put your life on the line to defend what? This nation and the Constitution of this United States. And I'm telling you, we've got wild boars and wild hogs that are coming in right now, devouring the very fiber of what this nation was founded on. And if you can't see that, you got a problem today. It's happening. God help us. America has become so immoral and so corrupt and so vile. There's a tidal wave of filth today that is sweeping our nation. The crookedness, the lying, the stealing, the cheating, the adultery, the dope, the vice. And that's just in Washington. I mean, you know, that's just flooding this nation. It's all over America. It's not just in Washington. It's in New York. It's in San Francisco. It's in Los Angeles. It's in Atlanta. And I'm telling you what, it's in Farmington too. Can somebody say amen? We've got to have a time where we cry out to God. America has had more opportunities, more blessings, more gospel than any other nation. And yet we have more policemen per capita. We have more crime per capita than any other nation on the face of this earth. The vileness of our TV shows, the vileness and wickedness of our movies has just become unbelievable. It is an open sewer that every time you click that button and turn on that television, it's an open sewer that is spewing out into our home. There is a total disregard for the things of God in this nation's leadership. And now with the decision by the Supreme Court that puts us in the category of Sodom and Gomorrah, the same thing that God destroyed those cities for, we are now saying is the law of the land. Happy 4th of July. What's wrong with America, Pastor Rick? Well, the hedge is down. The wild hogs have come in. And they're uprooting the vine. And America's facing judgment. But it's time for us to cry out. It's time for us to turn to God. It's time to pray, church. It's time to pray, return and visit your vine, Lord. The axe of the has been laid to the root of the tree, the axe of judgment. The only hope. You know, we can ask the question, is there hope for America? Is there hope? That's a hard question to answer because it depends on what we do. Yeah, there's always hope. But it's going to depend on which direction our country goes. There is hope of deliverance. Let me close. Let me read verse 17 through 19 of our 80th Psalm that we're in. Here's the prayer of that patriot. Let your hand be upon the hand, or upon the man of your right hand. Upon the Son of Man, whom you've made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Here it is. Here it is. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Is there hope? Sure, there's hope. Yes, there's hope. You can never give up hope. I mean, when you turn the TV on, it looks like, you know, there's no hope. But I'm going to tell you something. You know, we're looking to the next election. If we can just get the right man in the White House, forget about that. Forget all about that. Amen? That's not our hope. Washington, D.C. has never been and never will be your hope or the hope of this nation. Never will. The only one that's big enough and the only one that's strong enough and the only one that's wise enough to take care of this situation and to heal this land and to do what needs to be done is that man of your right hand. You know who that is? That's what he's talking about. Let the hand to be upon the man of your right hand. The man at God's right hand is the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory. That's the one. He's the one. He's the only one that can solve the problems of the United States of America. There must be a turning back to the Lord Jesus Christ. To the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 That's the only hope of deliverance for this nation and for the world. Yes, there's still hope for restoration, and that is a revival. Are we too far gone? We're awful close. But revival always comes in the darkest hour. Hallelujah. That's what I'm holding on to, Brother Jim. That's what I'm holding on to. Because every great spiritual awakening and revival in history of the church has always come in times like we're in right now, when it's the darkest outsides, when God likes to shine His light. And that's where we come in here at Abundant Life Family Church. That's where every church comes into play. That's where every Christian comes into play. We have got to pray. We have got to seek God. We've got to pray. See, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. But we must turn to God in prayer and fasting and weeping for an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. And that's the problem in the church. Yes, I love to praise. Yes, I love to worship. Yes, I love to shout. Yes, I love to run the aisles and rejoice in the Lord. God wants us to do that. But there's a prophecy by Dale Gentry I read to you some months back. But he said the next revival has got to be a revival of repentance and of weeping and of seeking God and crying before Him for the sins of this nation. Well, the church isn't backslid. Our church isn't backslid. Well, maybe ours isn't. There's a lot of them that are. But it doesn't make any difference. It was when Nehemiah found out the conditions at Jerusalem, at the rebuilding of the walls, that he got on his face and confessed the sins of his people and repented for them. It was when Daniel fell on his face and was crying out to God and repenting for the sins of Israel. Daniel was a godly man, but yet he was repenting for the sins of his nation. I'm telling you, every patriot in this church today needs to get on our knees and get on our face and begin to cry out to God and repent for the 50 million unborn babies that have been massacred, for the sin and the perversion and the uncleanness of this nation. God save America. Have mercy on us. January 23rd, 1996. You probably have seen this on the internet a few years back. A pastor by the name of Joe Wright, Christian church, I think it was in one of the cities in Kansas, maybe Wichita. Pastor Joe Wright was invited to pray, to give the invocational prayer to the Kansas State House of Representatives. And it was just, going to be an opening prayer, asking God to bless them, asking God to guide them, asking God to give them wisdom. Pastor Joe Wright bowed his head and began to pray. You can find this on the internet. There's even a recording of the actual prayer you can listen to. But he bowed his head and he said, "Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. Lord, we know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done." And this is a prayer he's praying before the Kansas State House of Representatives. We know that this is what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. God, we confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it mere moral pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and we've called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and have called it a choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Here's the prayer the churches need to be praying today. Let me read that again. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. America needs a miracle. Can we be saved? Yes. But it will take a miracle from God. Would you stand with me this morning? Oh, Jesus. God, musicians and singers, if you would come, please. The recipe for our dilemma and our problem is very simple. It's a verse of Scripture that we all know and can quote. It's found in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Our land needs healing, but today we have got to do that first part. If my people will call upon me, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Oh God, give us today a spirit of repentance, of weeping, of mourning today. James in the New Testament, you know, somebody said, well, that's Old Testament. Listen, James said in the New Testament, writing to believers, Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy be turned to tears and to weeping. It's time to pray and call upon the Lord. We are so close. As I said, if we've not hit bottom in the last 2 weeks, we are so close to it. I don't know what's yet to come. But I do know it's time that God is calling upon His church to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. And to seek His holy face and to cry out for revival and to pray that prayer of the patriot in Psalm 80. Oh, restore us, God. Save us, God. Bring us back to You. Visit Your vine. Visit Your vine. Let Your face, Your countenance shine upon us one more time. I'm opening these altars this morning. I'm calling Abundant Life Family Church into the altars to seek God. And I want us to cry out. Forget about our own personal needs this morning. But I'm asking that we cry out for our nation. I'm asking that you pray for our leadership, our president, those in Congress, in the Senate. Lord, all of those that are there in the judicial and legislative system, pray for them today. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our nation. But more than anything, cry out that God would have mercy, that God would save us, that God would forgive us, that God would turn us. Let us repent as a nation. Hallelujah.